Hello and welcome back to 1874 on The Athletic, the podcast that brings you the definitive word on Aston Villa Football Club every single week. And right now, you can sign up to The Athletic for just £1 a week. You can read all of Greg's articles on the Villa and so much more. Go to theathletic.com/villapod and sign up for just £1 a week. That's theathletic.com/villapod. Now, Greg, unbelievable display from Villa this evening at the Emirates. We've had some good days at the Emirates in the past, some bad ones as well, but I think that one might just be my favourite.
Yeah, certainly the most impressive, I think. Probably the most impressive performance for Villa this season as well. I mean, you know, we'll look back on the 7-2 and will do for decades to come. But I think in terms of a complete performance, you know, this was it tonight. Another clean sheet, the fourth of the season. You know, and that clean sheet will please Dean Smith more than anything, given the fact that Villa had conceded 7 before. But yeah, a brilliant day.
Yeah, and if you think under Arteta, actually Arsenal this season, they've been pretty solid. It looked like he'd sorted their defence out, but Villa just picked holes all over it. Players playing between the lines, and we just looked like we were going to score every time we came forward. We even had one chalked off, which we'll come on to. But it was refreshing again because it was a good attacking display, well, an excellent attacking display, but also Villa looked like they'd gone back to that side that wanted to defend, wanted to put bodies on the line and block the football.
Yeah, again, you know, just the perfect balance. Villa went back to basics, really, in defence, and there was that relentless desire, really, to keep the ball out the net. And, you know, there was some early blocks and interceptions and real key moments in the game where Villa were able to keep the ball out the net. And you just thought it felt like the early stages of the season where Villa certainly looked like they'd tightened up their defence. And, well, in attack, you know, they were absolutely brilliant. I mean, you know, it felt like every single time Villa were going forward, they were going to create a goal-scoring opportunity. I thought Ross Barkley turned up again. You know, he'd been a little bit quiet for the last couple of games, but he really turned up. Grealish was fantastic again. You know, I've writing all about him. I just feel like I'm running out of words to describe him. He's just taking his game onto a different level. I mean, there isn't a more productive playmaker in the Premier League at the moment. If you look at the actual amount of chances that Grealish is creating and how dominant he is in that attack, there's not a team in world football that doesn't rely on their player more than Villa do with Grealish. He's just unbelievable. And yeah, Ollie Watkins didn't quite work for him with the ball coming to his feet. You know, he lost it a few times, but show what a great goal scorer he is by popping up with another two goals now. And you know, if there was any doubt over whether he could do it against the big teams or step up to the Premier League, he's shown that, you know, he's quickly put that to bed by scoring 5 goals against Arsenal and Liverpool.
I was going to say, so far it's been the other games actually that he hasn't found the net in. But when he's come up against the big boys, he's caused them unbelievable problems and scores different goals as well. He scored with his left foot, right foot, headers. He scored all kinds of goals with those 5 as well.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, I didn't think he had his best game, but he was there and making a difference when it really mattered. And that's what Villa were missing last season. You know, they didn't have that sort of out-and-out goal scorer that was there to put the chances away. And I think Grealish and Barkley, their partnership, you know, is looking unbelievable. And the two of them made pretty much both of the goals very easy for him, but you've still got to convert them. And you know, in every single press conference, Dean Smith talks so highly about Watkins, talks about how he's a real leader around the place and how he's always you know, a breath of fresh air in training every morning. And these goals will do him the world of good, because look, you know, it doesn't matter what type of performances you're putting in as a striker. If you're scoring goals, you're going to be happy. And I think the future is going to be bright for Ollie Watkins. I think he's going to get quite a lot of goals for Villa, and you'd have thought that his performances will improve as well as the season goes on.
Yeah, I mean, he's well on track for double figures at the time of speaking. Now, that's 6 goals in the Premier League already. You'd think, barring an absolute disaster or an injury, he's going to get double figures. So that's an improvement on what Villa had last year up front, because we had no one anywhere near double figures in the striking positions. But let's talk about the main man, because I thought he was world class tonight, and people might say that using the term world class is too much, but I honestly don't think it is. As I say, Arsenal have been very solid defensively. Hector Bellerin will be going to bed and have an absolute nightmare tonight, because Jack Grealish has bossed him from start to finish, and that's a very, very good right wing back right there.
Yeah, I mean, it literally was from the first minute, wasn't it? You know, Grealish was driving forward, ripping into the right back. And there was and put it on a plate, really, for McGinn, who scored that goal that okay, it shouldn't have stood. Yeah, you know, it was the right decision. It was very unlucky and very harsh. And if VAR didn't exist, then there's no way that goal would have been chalked off and pulled up. But look, you know, the rules of the game are there for a reason, and it was rightly ruled out.
Do you think? I completely disagree with you, Greg.
Well, yeah, because he's in Leno's line, and two, he's offside. You know, he's definitely offside, and he's in Leno's line. So,
Do you think he was in his line though? Because I looked at it, and Leno to me looks like he's seen that ball all the way. He's even made a movement towards the ball. I mean, he's never saving it. I thought it was harsh.
I totally agree that he's never saving it, 100%. You know, he's never saving that goal, that strike. Absolutely no chance. But the rules are the rules. Barkley's offside and he's in Leno's line. So, as disappointing and frustrating as it was at the time, because as I say, if there was no VAR, that goal stands. It doesn't get noticed by the linesman because it's a very, very close call as well. And Villa go 1-0 up after 55 seconds or whatever it was. But yeah, looking back, you know, you just knew when the lines were drawn on the TV that it was going to be ruled out. And yeah, I look back at it now and I can totally understand what was ruled out.
I mean, you're lucky that hasn't gone on to cost Villa, because I think we'd be having our first falling out on the 1874 podcast, Greg, because I honestly completely disagree with you. But luckily, it hasn't gone on and punished Villa. I mean, so many times last year we were rubbing VAR and how it would cost Villa games and cost us results. But Villa have gone on and not only scored one, they've gone and scored two and three. And just how vital is it that Villa seem to score first? Because if we score first, we seem to win the game, Greg.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? I mean, we can pick out those patterns and think, yeah, you know, the trends of when Villa go behind, they go on to lose the game, and then when they go in front, they go on to win the game. But I think the pattern that we should really be looking at is 5 wins out of 7, 2 defeats. You know, it's an unbelievable start. The fact that Villa are now 3 points off the top of the league with the game in hand represents a clear and real improvement in this team. And I think they set up really well today. I think that they were trying to keep out goals first and foremost. I mean, I know they went and scored after 50 seconds and it feels like they really sort of, you know, flew out the blocks, but it was just a case of them all pressing from the front. You know, it was a real energetic and enthusiastic performance from the front three or four. You know, Grealish, Watkins, Trezeguet, Barkley, they were all pressing with high intensity, efficiently, high up the pitch as well. And I thought Douglas Luiz was fantastic. You know, we haven't really spoken about him much because he goes through games now where he's quite quiet and you don't notice him, but that's probably for a good reason because he's not doing anything wrong anymore. But today I thought he was everywhere. You know, he was winning headers against forwards that are taller than him and midfielders that are taller than him. He was mopping up on the edge of the box. He was offering that shield in front of the four defenders. And when he needed to move the ball quickly and bring the attackers into play, he did that as well. I thought it was a great performance from him. And sometimes that's the difference when Villa's back four and Douglas Luiz are really on it and they've got this, you know, drive to keep the ball out the net. That's when Villa go on and do great things because, you know, I think the front four or five are going to be a threat to any team.
Yeah, I think it's interesting you talk about Luiz because I actually thought he had a difficult couple of games through no fault of his own because I think Villa switched up the system a little bit and I kind of thought it left him exposed, but they went back to that 4-2-3-1 with Barkley playing incredibly close to Watkins tonight. But just for Luiz to have another defensive presence next to him in John McGinn, I think it actually curbs John McGinn's natural instincts when we play that system because you think about him bombing around, he likes to be box to box. That's what you think about when you think of John McGinn. But I actually think he's a better footballer when he plays in this system and he has to be more disciplined next to Luiz. You see his range of passing come out as well. And I think as a combination, those two in front of the back four, one, I think it makes Villa more solid. Two, it gives those in front more freedom.
Yeah, definitely. And it's just going back to that old thing, isn't it? You know, it's the balance there. It's any great team has got an attacking threat and a real solid back line. And it just feels like four or five of Villa's games this season, that's what we've seen. And, you know, that's a real positive sign. We were starting to get a little bit down and a little bit worried with two defeats, you know, the Leeds and the Southampton defeat. But, you know, when you look at it now, the bigger picture, it's an incredible start. And the fact that they've, you know, Villa have transformed themselves from relegation fodder to a potentially a top 10 side now. I mean, you know, I think we're at the stage now after seven games of seeing Villa against, you know, some real top teams. Leicester, you know, are doing the business at the moment. They look a solid team. Southampton, Villa only lost by a goal. You know, it was probably a fortunate scoreline, but the scoreline's still there. They did only lose by a goal. And they've gone and beaten Liverpool and Arsenal at the back end of last season as well, when they were in real good form. So I think we can start to get a little bit excited now and start to think, you know, Villa are capable of breaking into the top half and maybe even higher. You know, who knows? I don't for one minute think that Villa will finish the season in a top 6, 7 or 8, but I'm certainly starting to think that they've got the capabilities of breaking into the top half now. And it just shows, you know, that there's real character in this team, because in the Premier League, if you lose two defeats and if you lose two games and you're a side that naturally struggles, and Villa have in the Premier League for the last decade, you know, they've been a poor side in the Premier League, to bounce back against a real good team in Arsenal, you know, let's not get this twisted. Arsenal are still a good side, you know, they're not as good as they used to be, but to go to the Emirates where, you know, you look through that team and they're 30, 40, 50 million pound players all the way through, to go on and totally outclass them, is still a real big achievement. And yeah, I'm starting to get a little bit excited now about where Villa could finish this season.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
You think back, we were doing podcasts last season on this show, and we were talking about Villa need to go and beat one of the big six teams. It's something they didn't do all season until, I think, the penultimate game, was it Arsenal, that they actually won. How big now, looking back, was that win against Arsenal at Villa Park? Because it seems to have given the players belief that they can compete with the best.
Yeah, this is it, you know, and for so long, I mean, look, you know, the records were stacked up against Villa. They couldn't beat any of the big teams. They couldn't win on the road. They were atrocious in London. But, you know, look what they've done this season. They've won 3 out of 3 on the road, haven't conceded a goal. You know, they're turning into a really top travelling team, but also an entertaining team on the road too. And you look at the next set of fixtures, you know, the fixtures coming up, and you start to get a little bit excited. Okay, Villa haven't performed as well as probably they would have liked to against the so-called lesser teams, but, you know, this is the time to sort of go on and prove it wrong. And I think Brighton are a struggling team, so that's a really nice fixture almost for Villa coming back next after the international break. And, you know, they'll certainly fancy their chances. And you just think sometimes luck, you got to roll with the good fortune and luck goes in your favour. And you just think, imagine if Villa had played that first game of the season against Man City and lost, you know, they'd have had no momentum going into this season. Would they have won the next 4 on the bounce? Probably not, because sometimes defeats knock you for 6, and you know, you just got to take the bits of good fortune and roll with it. And you know, there are plenty of clubs, you know, we've been saying this all season, there are plenty of clubs looking at Villa and wishing they were in their position. And, you know, for a while it was Villa and Everton, wasn't it, at the top, and Everton seemed to have dropped off a little bit and had a few setbacks. But Villa have shown resilience and character and shown that they can still continue this. So, yeah, it's quite exciting.
Well, after losing 2 on the bounce as well, it was vital that Villa didn't make it 3 defeats in a row, because suddenly then you are on a bad run. I think that's what's actually happened to Everton. I think they might have lost 3 in a row and suddenly they're in the midst of a bad run. But it's no given going to Arsenal and getting a result, but Villa have done it comfortably.
Yeah, I mean, that's the great thing, isn't it? It could have been more. Jack had one cleared off the line. It feels almost every week he's having opportunities cleared off the line now. You know, his statistics are stacking up really nicely, 4 goals and 5 assists. And yeah, there were a couple of other opportunities. I think Trezeguet had another good chance. You know, really good performance from him. I think looking back now, it's probably the wrong thing to do, wasn't it? Dropping Trezeguet against Southampton for Traore. Yeah. Okay, he had a bad game against Leeds, but you know, I think it's probably unfair on him. I think he's been a really big part of this team, of this success, because he just works so hard. And it's annoying if you're a midfielder or a defender and you've constantly got someone ratting around your ankles, and that's what Trezeguet does. And there was a couple of opportunities where he won the ball back, and I think it was him winning the ball back for Grealish's chance, wasn't it, that was cleared off the line. It's crazy, isn't it, that we're talking about a 3-0 win at Arsenal and saying that Villa probably should have scored more.
Yeah, I mean, you think, talk about Trezeguet, he was someone that for me last season really, really struggled, but just now having been here a year, and he did have a good tail end of the season, in fairness to him as well, he just seems settled now, and like you say, he's a key cog. I mean, it's him that pops up at the back post. I think it was given as an own goal, but we saw last week Trezeguet had 3 or 4 chances at that back post. He seems to live there, but he pops up and he's crucial.
Yeah, he is, isn't he? I don't think he's ever going to be like the cultured winger that we thought he might be when he came. He certainly stopped dribbling it as much as he did at the start, and isn't quite as silky skilled as you know, some of the YouTube clips might have shown him to be when he first came. Because, you know, I admit I didn't really know too much about him. I'd seen him play for Egypt a little bit, but I hadn't followed any of his you know, domestic football. So he was coming into Villa quite fresh for me. I really didn't know much about him, but I remember looking back on the first game of the season at Tottenham last year, and I thought he was great that day. You know, he was taking the ball out from dangerous positions, beating players and getting Villa into positive, you know, attacking areas. Don't really see that too much from him anymore. We don't see him getting on the ball and going at fullbacks, because a lot of the Villa's play comes through Grealish. You know, probably too much, if anything. If there was a really, you know, another really talented winger in place of Trezeguet, then I think you'd see more of Villa's attacks coming through. But let's not diminish the role that he plays. You know, he works probably harder than everybody else. Whether he knows, maybe he's not quite as, you know, talented as the other attackers in terms of when he's got the ball at his feet and creating chances and scoring goals, maybe. You know, I've noticed Ahmed Al-Mohammadi, his international teammate, often guiding him through games. You know, he'll give him pointers throughout the games of where to trap back, when to sit in, when to get forward, you know, when to break the lines, etc. And I just think he's a, you know, real shining light, because sometimes it just shows that hard work, you know, sometimes beats talent. Maybe that's a little bit unfair, because, you know, obviously he's a very talented player as well, but it just feels like his energy levels and his enthusiasm is what gets him through the games now.
It's about having different components, isn't it? If everyone was exactly the same, you wouldn't have a team. You'd struggle. You'd even struggle if you had 10 Jack Grealishes as outfield players, wouldn't you? Because you'd need different players in different positions. So that would be great. Yeah, we'd certainly be playing on the front foot, I think. But do you know what I mean? He's different, but he's no less vital than anyone else. And sometimes he really sets the tone up there as well. So he's had a great start to the season. And I've got to say, I'm surprised, but I'm also very pleased to see it as well. Now, there was someone that you did a story on, I think maybe a month or so now, Emi Martinez making the return to his old club. Didn't have a fat lot to do, but was involved in the third goal with a lovely quick throw out and a great return to the Emirates for him.
Yeah, look, you know, it was a nice game for him to go back there. To keep a clean sheet, regardless of, you know, how little he had to do, will be very pleasing. I certainly feel he's been one of Villa's best signings. It just feels like he's so confident, and the defenders in front of him, you know that they're going to be very assured with him behind. And yeah, he didn't have to do too much. I felt very sorry for him in the Southampton game, actually, because, you know, the 4 shots on target that Southampton scored all from, he could do nothing about them. But yeah, tonight he was there, you know, rolling balls out quickly, starting the attacks off again. He did that at Arsenal very well last year, and he didn't have much to do. Yeah, and he was in a very positive mood, obviously, after you know, when he talked to the media after. So I think that he's going to be one of Villa's best signings. You know, I feel that there's still more to come from him. To be able to get a goalkeeper who was Arsenal's number one at the back end of last season for just £20 million, and he's still only 28. You know, he could potentially be Villa's goalkeeper for another decade, which is a really good sign.
Yeah, I mean, it must have been a real strange occasion for him going back there. He was at Arsenal for a very, very long time. So a great return for him, a triumphant return as well. And goalkeepers are always going to obviously love keeping clean sheets, whether they've had to make 10 saves or not had a fat lot to do. You know, it's a big thing to keep another clean sheet for Villa.
Yeah, I mean, it must be weird for him as well, because I think he'd been at Arsenal for about 10 years, and I'm not sure if he ever played last season with a crowd in there. I'll have to check, but I'm pretty sure he came back in Project Restart, didn't he? He'd played some of, you know, some of the Europa League games earlier with supporters in. But I think that run that he had on at the back end of last season, you know, was all without crowds. So to go back there again in an empty stadium would have been a little bit hollow for him as well. And he would have loved to have gone back there with a full house and got that performance, because the Arsenal fans speak very highly of him. You know, that they're very grateful for what he did at the back end of last season. And a lot of them didn't really want him to go. You know, there was a genuine debate over whether Martinez was better than Leno. And okay, Leno made a brilliant save to stop Grealish today. But, you know, that for me, that debate is still still up for debate, really, because Martinez has been great.
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League One? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer, if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
When we found out there was interest in Martinez, I can't remember what your thoughts were, but I just thought, we're absolutely dreaming here. Absolutely no way we get him in. He's going to be Arsenal's number one. He's been fantastic, and it really is a great piece of business from Christian Perslow and everyone at Aston Villa to have a goalkeeper like that who will go on and play a lot of games for Argentina, I'm sure. And he will get his chance to, I'm sure, next season to say goodbye to the Arsenal faithful properly. And he's going to have a shock as well when he's got a raucous Holton behind him as well, isn't
it? Yeah, I'm really looking forward to supporters coming back at some point. You know, we don't know when, but you know, it's such a shame, isn't it, these performances. I mean, can you imagine that away end today with a 3-0 win? I know we're sort of saying this every week and it's the same for every team, but these are real big wins and the supporters are missing them. I mean, it's just so horrible, isn't it? And, you know, the one good thing is that pay-per-view is over. So, you know, hopefully supporters get a bit better value for money with watching games now. But yeah, you know, it would be brilliant, wouldn't it, to be in London now, having a few beers and enjoying that brilliant performance.
I mean, yeah, I was there at the Emirates last season when Villa chucked away their lead against 10 men. And to be fair, you always have a good time on an away day, even when you lose. But I just absolutely traded that to be there tonight and witness that. Because it was a special, special display from Villa, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it's one of those away games as well where you would be in the stadium and you would never really feel under any threat. Like when you go to places like Arsenal and you know, Old Trafford and Stamford Bridge, there's always that worry that you're going to concede. And usually, you know, if you're a Villa supporter, I could certainly imagine it's usually the team that they're playing up against that has a majority of the possession. But tonight it was very much a controlled Villa performance. They never really looked like they were going to concede. I mean, look, there was a couple of chances. Holding had missed a good chance from close range, didn't he? And Lacazette should have put his header away in the first half. But other than that, there was never really like a sustained spell of pressure where, as a fan in the stands, you're thinking, oh, you know, this goal's coming in a minute, isn't it? It would have been one of those games. In, you know, Villa fans would have loved it as well, because it's in all goals were in their end as well, weren't they? They were all in front of the away end, so it would have been even more special. But we can't focus on that too much because you know, we never know when they're going to be coming back. It's just very sad, isn't it?
No, and I suppose if we can't be there, which we can't at the moment, at least Villa are good, because if we weren't there and Villa were rubbish, that makes it doubly unenjoyable. So it's been great that Villa have, in the main so far this season, been absolutely excellent, and long may it continue, Greg. And thanks ever so much for joining me as ever on 1874.